Hi, everyone. My name is Catherine Clark. As Sarah already mentioned, I worked with my partner Marcos Martinez, who he's unable to be here today. And we did our project in occupational hazards and waste and recycling industry in Southern California. So to give you a little background about the industry in Southern California particularly, this industry lacks unions, is very ununionized. Actually, most of the workers are Hispanic male. There are some women in the sorting industry. This is actually considered the fifth most dangerous job in the United States. It actually ranks a little bit higher than a police officer and firefighters, and 45 to 60 sanitation workers die each year on the job. So as I told you before, the industry is largely unregulated, it lacks a lot of, with few regulations across companies, because the companies vary in size from small mom and pop industries to large corporations and waste management that are located throughout the United States. So we worked with the local NGO, Los Angeles Alliance for a New Economy, LANE, and the local Teamsters 396 in creating surveys and gaining access to the workers. So the Brotherhood, the Teamsters 396, allowed us access to the workers and helped the workers to gain trust through the workers. So for the main objectives for our project were to conduct in-depth interviews of health and safety hazards in the waste and recycling industry, identify common workplace injuries, assess effectiveness of the current health and safety practices that they have in the equipment, and to make future recommendations for making the environment safer for workers. So we conducted a total of 200 surveys. The survey covered employment history, safety, and training. And we interviewed workers at the few yards, the truck yards, and waste facilities. From the survey we collected, we surveyed 150 drivers, 33 sorters, and 7 mechanics and 5 technicians throughout Southern California. So the workers, the types of waste that we found in our surveys that the workers were working with were residential, commercial waste, which is mostly construction, and green waste. So to give you an idea of how the process works, drivers collect the waste and take them to waste recycling centers or exchange centers. And then the waste is sorted manually into recyclables, waste, and green material for compost. And then the waste, whatever is left, is then taken to a landfill. Okay, so we visited 5 facilities, Waste Management, Republic, Calmet, Angeles, and Crown throughout Southern California. We collected 91 surveys from Waste Management, 71 from Republic, 14 from Calmet, 12 from Angeles, and 12 from Crown. And these are some of the locations we went to. So as you can see, we saw a lot of California during the summer. we found from our surveys that over 90% of the workforce are Latino or identify themselves as Latino or Hispanic immigrants, most Hispanic demographic. The average work hours, so a driver on average works 54 hours a week. A mechanic will work 42 hours per week. So we found some that worked 60, 68, so these are just averages. And a sorter, which is a person that manually sorts the waste at these transfer centers, will work on average 41 hours a week. So of the reported injuries by type, drivers tended to have more hand, back, shoulder, and slip and fall injuries. And sorters, because they're constantly basically standing most of the day, had hand, cuts, knee, leg, and ankle injuries. And so as you can see in the picture, we went to one site and they had only reported they only had one day without injury. And the last couple days they had 54 injuries. So the most common, the top 5 injuries for waste and recycling workers, and among all of them, drivers, sorters, mechanics, and technicians, were hand, back, shoulder, slip, and fall, and knee and leg injuries. So what causes injuries? You're wondering, why do workers get injured? We're curious to know why. And from what the drivers and the sorters told us, they said the majority of their injuries are due to malfunctioning equipment, broken bins. We saw this a lot when we went to visit sites. A lot of the bins were missing wheels or doors, so they have to do a lot more manual labor than they should, which is also causing them to injure themselves. And they also said malfunctioning doors or bin enclosures. They feel that the training was inadequate they're receiving. They feel that the training was not comprehensive enough to keep them safe while they're doing their job. And lack of manpower, as mentioned in other presentations, a lot of the workers are doing the same amount of work or even more with less and less coworkers. And they also felt pressure from the employers. A lot of the drivers and sorters said that they take more risks to get the job done because the employers care more about them doing what they need to do. So they're taking a lot more risks to make sure they get their job done and sometimes causing themselves injury. So the top five hazardous materials that we found in our survey were that the workers are exposed to on a daily basis was oil, paint, needles, blood, and batteries. And so for a sorter, they're getting contact with hazardous materials on the sorting line. And most of the most common materials they're encountering are batteries, needles, and animal carcasses. One worker said like there's stuff falling on their face all the time or falling on them, and they don't know exactly what it is. And for drivers, they are encountering hazardous materials when they're at the landfill or a transfer center when they're cleaning out their trucks, because drivers actually have to go inside and clean out any debris that's left over. And they're encountering paint, motor oil, and unknown chemicals. So there were three modes of training that we identified that are common among all the facilities. There was video, a book, and discussion. We found that less than 50% of the information is actually in Spanish and English. Majority of it's in English, and even less of the training personnel speak Spanish. The majority of the drivers receive training intermittently, and sorters usually receive training only when hired. And what was shocking we found was that training and safety are emphasized after someone is injured on the job more than before. So here are some quotes from the workers. And a couple of them said the training that they give us doesn't make us feel safe. A lot of the drivers and workers told us that they think their job is safe because they've learned how to keep themselves safe, not because the employers have taught them how to be safe. And a lot of them believe that employers don't care about them. All they care about is getting the job done. So some of the personal protective equipment, as you can see in the photos, that the workers use are vests, hard hats, safety glasses. The safety glasses vary in styles. They're not shatterproof glasses. They're just regular glasses you use for gardening or something like that. There were steel-toe boots. Drivers only receive a voucher for purchasing boots. Sorters do not receive anything. There was this regular face mask, no N95 face masks. Gloves were just very basic materials, not puncture-proof. Air plugs and body suits, and the body suits were only worn by mechanics. So our union that we work with wanted us to identify some disparities between a union facility and a non-union facility, because they're working to bring more of these companies to accept unions. So on the left, you see a waste management facility where you have a common break room and drinking facilities. And on the other photos is a non-unionized facility. And you see in the water fountain, there is, I think, I don't know if you can see, there's a razor there. And next to it is a dirty bucket with trash. And this is their break room. This is where they have to come when they have time off to just eat their lunch. And as you can see, you can't see, but on the wall, there's like dirt marks. This facility was one of the worst we went to. It was covered in grime. There were rats. And this is where people have to come in just to have a break. And this is just another photo of, this is their locker rooms and break rooms of two different facilities. Crown in Sun Valley was one of the worst as well, because the porta potties were the only bathroom facilities available to sorters. That's where they went to use the bathrooms. And above, the photo above, is their locker room. As you can see, it's not a locker room, it's actually outside next to the sidewalk. There's the fence, and that's the street, and this is where they come to change their clothing. And I think that we felt that they did this because the majority of the employees there at this site were undocumented. So just a recap of the union versus non-union facilities. Union workers are provided with uniforms. Non-union tend not to have uniforms. And some union facilities tend to have training, and some have locker rooms, showers, and receive a little bit higher wage than the others. So these are some of our recommendations. We felt, for the workers based on what they said, we felt that workers should have two types of uniforms. In the photo, you see that the gentleman in the center is wearing a lightweight uniform, which is more ideal for summers in Southern California. And we asked him how he received it, and they actually received it through a raffle. It's not given to them. And we felt that they should be given at least two types of uniforms, because as you can see, he's wearing the summer one, and the others are wearing the more traditional. And there is actually not that expensive for them to have two sets of uniforms. We also believe that they should have some shower facilities at their facility, at their work sites, because a lot of the workers complain that they wish they didn't have to go home covered in dirt and waste. They would just love this to be able to wash before they can go home. Shatter-resistant glasses to reduce eye injuries. A lot of the drivers in their trucks don't have first aid kits. If they're injured on the job, they said when they cut themselves and they're on the road, they just look for a hose and wash it off. And that's all they do. They feel the training needs to be updated because it's not representative of all the injuries that they're having right now. Proper maintenance of the vehicles. We went to so many sites where the vehicles were leaking hydraulic fluid. They had no AC. The trucks were 20 years, 30 years old, older than the drivers. So they felt that these were some basic things the company could do that was inexpensive to make their jobs safer. And provide employees uniforms. Temporary workers are not given uniforms. They're not guaranteed anything while they're working. And there is no limit on how long you can be a temporary worker. So the challenges and limitations for our program. It was a short program, it was 8 weeks. Our research is basically going to be preliminary for the campaign to learn what's going on in the industry so they can continue this campaign to improve working conditions in Southern California for waste and recycling workers. We had limited access to non-union workers because without a union, they felt that they had no job security, so they wouldn't talk to us about what was really going on. The workers that did complete our survey felt they kept constantly asked us, you know, are you working for the union? Are you working for the company? And we had to tell them to reassure them, like, no, we're not, because they didn't feel that they could talk to us about what was really going on. And the long commutes, I mean, Marcus and I were in different parts of California, and with California traffic, it was very interesting. So some of the successes, we exceeded our survey goal, because our initial goal was to collect 125 surveys, and we collected 200. We helped to document the working conditions of workers in the industry, which has basically been ignored for a really long time. And we learned how unions and nonprofits are bringing awareness to occupational health and safety, and how unions can benefit from report, or how the union will benefit from our report to improve the conditions of the workers. For our Give Back project, we provided a pamphlet to discuss what we found in our research. So just some personal reflection. I'm sorry that Marcus couldn't be here, but as you can see in the photos, we had a great time with the workers. Here I am with this photo. And just some of the, what I felt I learned from this is that now that when I go anywhere, if I see a waste recycling truck, I always look and I see what's the name of the company, who they are. And when I was in California, I was living there, I was driving on the road, and someone was honking at me. I turned to the left, and there's one of my drivers. And he remembered who I was. And so that was nice. So I think what I've taken from this is that a lot of these people, they love what they do. They loved giving this public service to us, and they just want us to be aware of who they are and not forget about them, and to make change and to do something to make it better for them. So this is an example of the pamphlet we made to give back to the workers, so that they would know that we actually did something with what we did with the surveys and talking to them. And this is the English version, and there's a Spanish one. And we'd like to acknowledge Francisco Arzu. He was our mentor. He was great. And UCLA Los mentors, they were really great at helping us with our project. The Teamsters 396, NIOS, and AOEC, and IEHS, and all the workers, because they were just great, and I learned a lot from them. So thank you.